Well, good evening and welcome to Bible study tonight. I'm glad that you've decided to join us this evening and looking forward to our study, our continuing our study in the book of Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles at home, I would encourage you to go ahead and open them. We started our study last week and we'll continue it tonight. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to be reading tonight verses 12 down through verse 30. We looked at verses 1 through 11 last week. But before I read these scriptures tonight, just want to give you a little bit of a context to this. So this is the book of Philippians. It's written to the Christians that are living in the city of Philippi. And the apostle writes this book while he is in prison in Rome. And you'll see that as I read through these scriptures here. But the chapter is really divided into three different sections. And you'll notice it too as we read through it. Now, I'm not reading the first 11 verses, but in verse number 5, the scripture said this, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul was thankful for the fellowship that he had with other believers. And then we're going to see, as we get into verse 12, it's going to talk about the furtherance of the gospel. And I want to spend some time on that tonight. And then in verse number 27, we deal with the faith of the gospel. So it's really three points that the chapter is divided up to. It's divided up with regards to the fellowship of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, and the faith of the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel, what binds us together, is our faith in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in each of us that has put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But now let's get into the scriptures, and we'll deal with the furtherance of the gospel, and then, if time allows, the faith of the gospel. So Paul writes this. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Well, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and to the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather around your word tonight and to gather here on Facebook and on our website page. And I just pray and ask that you bless our Bible study this evening, that you would guide us and teach us and lead us. Help us to see these truths that are found here in your word and make application to our lives. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross, the new life that we have in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I ask and pray tonight for all that are watching this evening, that if perhaps someone is viewing this tonight, that Holy Spirit, you'd move upon their heart, cause them to realize that their hope needs to be in Jesus Christ, for he is the hope of the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the furtherance of the gospel tonight. The other day I read an article that said on the first weekend that the officials, local officials, and national officials asked that churches would remain closed so that the virus would not spread, that tens of thousands of churches began to broadcast their services, whether it was a Sunday morning service or a Bible study, but tens of thousands of churches began to broadcast services over the internet, whether it was on Facebook or YouTube or different church websites. So incredibly, the gospel, that's the furtherance of the gospel. The entire New Testament is about the furtherance of the gospel, advancing the cause of Christ throughout the world. And the cause of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has been furthered or advanced for the last 2,000 years and will continue to do so until the Lord's return. But Paul wanted the believers in Philippi to understand that. He wanted to understand how God uses things to further the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to promote the gospel. He wanted them to comprehend what was going on. And he wanted them to understand there he was in prison. And he was in Rome. He was under Roman imprisonment for 2 years. And while he was in that imprisonment, he wrote the book of Philippians, he wrote the book of Colossians, he wrote the book of Philippians, and he wrote the book of Philemon. So there it was. Some of you may feel like you're in prison at home right now because you can't leave, you're asked not to leave, but only to leave for essential matters. But listen, we can be productive at home, and we should be productive at home, and we should take this time. I saw on the news yesterday that the owner, I think his name is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, was at the White House, and the president had a number of business people there trying to encourage Americans, and it was his turn to get up to speak, and he encouraged Americans to get back to their family and spend time with their family and to turn back to the Word of God and to begin to read the Bible together as a family and to pray together and to pray for our nation. My understanding is that he's taken 3/4 of his production facilities in Minnesota and he's turned that into making masks for first responders and for doctors and for nurses. So good for him. And yet, apparently he was criticized for telling people to get closer to their family and to read the Bible, which is kind of mind-boggling to me. But good for him, too, to take that moment and to promote the cause of Jesus Christ. But this is what happens in times like these. It's interesting, but some of the greatest spread of the gospel in churches in history were times where the church was persecuted, when people tried to quiet the church or to tamp it down. It spread. And who knows what God will use in a time like this. And that's really the whole idea behind the Bible study tonight. So again, in verse 12, he says this to these Christians. He's writing to them, trying to be an encouragement to them. And the theme of Philippians is joy and rejoicing. It's found throughout the whole book. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Of all of Paul's epistles, it is my favorite. So, again, he says this, but I would have you to understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me. Well, what things is he talking about? What this? In this instance, he's talking about the fact he's been arrested, that he's in prison. He's waiting waiting trial. He's been falsely accused. But he says, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So one might look at Paul and one might think, wow, this was not a good situation for him, having ended up in prison. You know, how could this turn out to be a good situation? By the way, it wasn't the first time that Paul's in prison. He's in prison elsewhere throughout the scriptures. And Paul and Silas, I believe it were in prison earlier in the book of Acts. And we find them not in a corner, cowering somewhere and worrying about what's going to happen. The Bible says it was at midnight and they were praying and they were singing hymns and they were rejoicing in the Lord. Paul had just such an abundance of grace in his life and the ability to just find a time to rejoice in no matter what the circumstances were. It's a great verse in the book of Romans that says this, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, it doesn't say that all things are good, but it does say that all things work together for good. And so while we're going through this time, as we're battling this virus, this pandemic strike against our country, certainly the virus isn't good. And the whole idea of people becoming sick, and we feel and we pray for the families that have already lost loved ones. So I think this morning that I heard on the news, 4,000 Americans have died from the virus. And that's a tragedy, and we should grieve for those families. And many of us, we're concerned. We have moms and dads and loved ones who are more vulnerable to this virus than perhaps others are. And so we're concerned about them. But at the same time, God can take that which we think is evil, and certainly this virus is evil, and God can take it and turn it into good. And you see many things that people are doing to be a help and to be an encouragement to others. I heard also on the news yesterday, I think it was, a state trooper pulled over a doctor who was speeding. She was on her way to the hospital, and she's on the very front lines of fighting this pandemic. And once the state trooper found out that she was a doctor, he had in his car masks that were for his use. He took those and he gave them to her so that she would be protected as she was going to the hospital to help those who were ill. So there's all different things that happen during these times, and different ways that you and I can be a blessing to those people who are around us. And Paul was writing here to these believers, and he probably thought, they're probably concerned because he's in prison, and what's going to happen to him, and is he going to survive? But he wanted them to know, listen, he says, what's happening here? God's going to use this, and he's going to promote the gospel with regards to what he's putting me through. And so while going to prison isn't a good thing, we can remember that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And you and I, we all have a purpose. God's called each of us, and he's given each of us a purpose as we walk through this world. God used the Apostle Paul to start churches all through the Middle East and all through Europe. He had three missionary journeys that God used him on. And all over he started churches. He started churches in Ephesus and Colossae and in the regions of Galatia. And he started churches in Philippi. And he started churches in Corinth and all over. And history tells us that he ended up going into Spain. And some think he may have even gone into Great Britain at the time and preached the gospel there. So God used him in a great way to further the gospel. And so it just reminds us that God gives us opportunities. In chapter 1 and in verse 6, the Bible says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Listen, the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God began to do a good work in you. God wants to use you to reach others for him. That's how God does it. He uses people. And we share our faith with people. We share our testimony with people. God places us in different opportunities to have the ability to do that. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're his workmanship. God's doing a work in each of us, but God uses us to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when a painter has a painting in mind, he has a finished product in mind. He's going somewhere with the painting. And if you or I were to walk in as the painter is putting the paint on the canvas. And if we were to walk in a third of the way through or two-thirds of the way through, we would not see the finished product. We wouldn't understand, perhaps, maybe two-thirds, we'd understand where the painter's going. But until the painter puts the last stroke of the brush on the canvas, then the painting's not complete yet. Well, in some ways, our lives are like that too, that God is painting a picture with our lives for others to see. And God was painting a picture with Paul's life for others to see. And part of that picture was for Paul to be in prison. And we're to be reminded of that. And the Bible's filled with examples of that. We don't know the entire outcome of what's going to happen over the next weeks and the next months. Only God knows what the final painting will look like. Only God knows of that. But there's a picture being painted right now. And we have such a great opportunity to be used of God as the paintbrush, and to paint a stroke of on other people's lives, to be used of Him. It's a great example in the Bible of Joseph. Joseph didn't know what the final outcome of his life would be. And he went through a lot of difficult times. He went through a lot of things that we would say were not good. I mean, he was hated by his brothers. They were jealous of him. And they decided one day to throw him into a pit, and they were thinking about even killing him. And then they thought, well, let's not do that. Let's sell him. And before they could sell him, some Midianite merchants came along and snatched Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. Well, the Ishmaelites took him to a man by the name of Potiphar, and sold him to Potiphar, and he became a servant in Potiphar's house. But all throughout that, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And while he was in Potiphar's house, he did well there, and he became a trusted servant to Potiphar. In fact, Potiphar's home and his finances were blessed by Joseph. And he became Joseph, Potiphar's right-hand man. But Potiphar's wife, she was not a nice woman. And she had eyes for Joseph. And she tried to seduce Joseph. And Joseph said, how can I do this? How could I dishonor my God? And so she got to the point where she became enraged at Joseph because he would not welcome her advances. And she made up a lie about Joseph. And Joseph ended up being thrown into prison. But the Bible says that God was with him there. And Joseph, in the prison, he rose to a place of prominence. And he interpreted some dreams for a butler and for a baker who were also in prison. And one of them died while he was in prison. And he said to the butler, who was Pharaoh's butler, when you're released, he said, you remind Pharaoh that I was able to interpret your dream. Well, 2 years went by after the butler was released, and he didn't tell Pharaoh until Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh's dream was such that he couldn't interpret it, and no one could interpret it. And then the butler said, you know, I met someone in prison who interpreted one of my dreams, and it came true. And the Bible says that they snatched Joseph out of prison. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. There was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph said, you had better put some stock away for the 7 years of famine. And for those 7 years, they accumulated grain. And they accumulated cattle. And they accumulated that which they'd need to get through the famine. Well, the famine came. And by now, Joseph, he's second in command of all of Egypt. And Jacob sends his sons to Egypt for grain. And when they arrive there, they don't recognize that Joseph is their brother. But Joseph recognizes them. And then through a whole series of events, in the end, they become aware that Joseph is their brother. And Joseph says this. He said to them after he reveals himself, and reassures them that he's not going to take out vengeance against them. He says, you know, brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. And because of that, he was able to send grain back to his family and then invite his family to come and to live with him. And there's much more to the story, but that is the basis of the story. And the idea behind it, and the reason I'm telling you this, is because there are things that come into this world that are evil, and this virus is evil. But I want to tell you that God can take the evil and God can turn it to good. God can take what's going on today and he can use it to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are opportunities that God gives all of us. And Paul is saying here in Philippians, there's an opportunity here. Yeah, I'm in prison, but there's an opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel. And we see it as he continues to write. He says this in verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So there was an opportunity that God gave to Paul, but there's an opportunity in this for others to be strengthened in their faith. And he said, these that know I'm in prison and they know what I've experienced and they know what I'm dealing with, they're much bolder now. They've got a confidence to tell others about our faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, often what happens in our lives is for the benefit of others. And as believers, listen, the world in which we live needs to see that you and I have a confidence in Jesus Christ. That with all of the confusion and all of the turmoil and everything that's taking place, and it seems like just when perhaps you get a little bit of good news, then you get inundated with a lot of bad news. Listen, our hope is in Jesus Christ, and through this opportunity, let others see the boldness that we have in Christ. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They have become emboldened by Paul's experience. These things that have happened unto him for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, it's amazing the opportunities that God will give us to share our faith with those that are around us. There are many people today that there's a fear that they have. And to some degree, it's justifiable. I mean, it's a scary thing, the virus. And all of the precautions that we're being told to take, it's a scary thing. But let others see the boldness that we have in Christ, that we understand that Jesus has a reason for all of this. And it gives us an opportunity to share our faith with those who perhaps have no faith, or perhaps those that have a weak faith. In fact, he went on and he said this. He said, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my soul, or affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Well, he said there's even some, he uses that word pretense, it's a false claim or false profession. They're doing it just for show. But Paul said, hey, if they're lifting up Jesus Christ in the name of Christ, even if they're not doing it for the right reason, I'm thankful that the name of Jesus is being lifted up. But he said there are those who are sincere, the other of love. And they know that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. He said, whatever befalls me, I'm set. I'm going to declare Jesus Christ, just as Mike Liddell from MyPillow did the other day. He just professed his faith in Christ. Yeah, there would be those who attacked him, but you know what? I think if any man takes his entire facilities and takes 3/4 of that facility and begins to produce masks for people to be protected from the virus, I think he's got a right to say what he wants to say. So Paul is here in prison, and he's being an encouragement to those that are around him so that they would preach the gospel. And many were. They were just encouraged. They were not going to let fear overcome them, and fear can certainly overcome us. And then he goes on and he says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So in circumstances like we're dealing with, there's opportunities for God to use us. There's opportunities for others to see God using us. And then there's our own opportunities. We should never be ashamed of our faith in Christ. We should always be willing and wanting to share our faith and our testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I love that verse. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is a wonderful thing when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He lifted us up out of the miry clay. I know he lifted me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus. I was sharing my testimony just yesterday with someone, giving them an account on how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 24 years old, and God saved me out of the muck and out of the mire of sin. And I tell my story, my testimony, I give it often, and honestly, more times than not, it is hard for me not to just stop and be a little bit overcome emotionally when I share my faith. Because I was lost and on my way to hell. I was a man who was rudderless in life. A man who desperately needed Christ. And Jesus came and saved me. And for me to live, it is Christ. My whole life is Christ. Anything I've accomplished in life, it is because of his mercy and because of his grace. Paul would say elsewhere in the scriptures that I find in me is no good thing. Just a sinner saved by grace. Paul understood that. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and neither should you be. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. In other words, he's saying to go to heaven is far better. You know, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And it's true. I'm looking forward to that day. But he went on and he said this, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In other words, for right now, God has a plan for me. And part of that plan is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he finishes with this, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Wow. It's been a wonderful time in our church. We've just seen so many people in the last couple of weeks just kind of step up and do things and get involved. It's not that we didn't always have people who stepped up and did things and get involved, but the whole dynamics of ministry has changed. And so we've had to just restructure everything and do different things and have different types of ministry. And what a blessing it's been for me as a pastor to see the different folks in our church just step up and do what they can and make it all work and make it all happen. And to be able to call families on a regular basis and just to talk and to just be an encouragement to one another and to see how one another are doing. It's been a great blessing. And so in our lives and in the lives of all those that are around us, just look at this time as an opportunity that God is giving us individually. God is giving us as a church. God is giving us out in our community. And God is giving to our country and really to the world an opportunity to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're watching tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How that you and I were born into this world as sinners, but despite that, Jesus loves us, Jesus cares for us, Jesus went to the cross to die and pay for our sin. And if you by faith will put your faith and trust in him, meaning what he was doing on the cross for you, he was paying for your sin. He was doing for you what you and I could never do for ourselves. And if we'll put our faith in him, if we'll call upon him, we'll make him the Savior of our life. He promises to save us. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. You have to admit to the Lord in your heart, in your mind, in your prayer time, that you're a sinner. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand that. But I believe, Jesus, that you died and that you paid for my sin on the cross. And right here and now, I put my faith and trust in what you did for me, not in what I can do for myself. And I call upon you to be my Savior. Save me from my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. That's just a kind of a model prayer, or just some thoughts that you have to have in order to be born again, in order to be saved. And I trust and pray, if you've never received Christ, that you'll do that. And if you have a Bible and you're not a Bible reader at home, begin to read through the Scriptures. Open up the Gospel of John. Begin to read through the Gospel of John in the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read through the Gospel of John. It tells you the story of Christ and why he came. I mean, all the Gospels tell you the story of Christ and why he came. But John is a great place to start if you've never read the Bible at all. So I encourage you to do that. John chapter 1. Well, have a great night. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And look forward to seeing you for our kids program on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Isolation Island. Tune in for that. And then our Sunday morning service will be broadcast beginning at 10:30. And look forward to for you to tune into that as well. And I think we're going to try, we had a little technical difficulty with our song service on Sunday night, but I think we might try again and see if we can get some of that ironed out. Until then, be safe, stay healthy, keep your eyes on Jesus. Good night.